Wow. Yeah, this is good. The headphones typically don't stay on my head. I'm missing something up here. Oh, that's good. Thank you, Len. So, do you have your Bibles with you? Can we start in the book of Philippians chapter 1? I'll roam around a little bit, but I want to start there. I was preparing, I thought God was putting on my heart for this time together at camp. And I had it laid out really nice. Three sessions that just built together perfectly. Then a week ago Thursday, I just felt the Lord say, no. And he put something else in my heart, so then I started scrambling to kind of put it down. And my theme, get joy. Get joy. Get it. Don't wait for it. Don't sit back and say, God, give me. Get joy. Be joyful. Be filled with the joy of the Lord as we go through the book of Philippians. If you have your Bibles, we're going to start in chapter 1. We're not going to do the whole book this morning. But hopefully by the end of the weekend, we'll have finished the book. Verses 3 to 11, I just want to read this as we start. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I pray always with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Verse 9. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to the glory and praise of God. Father, in this time together, speak to us, challenge us to chase you, to chase joy, to not sit around in our circumstances, but find our joy in the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you remember this church at Philippi, do you remember how the church was formed? I want to take you back. If we go to Acts chapter 16, Acts 16, Paul is trying to preach into Asia. He's trying to go to new places. Do you remember Acts, the book of Acts? Do you remember Paul had this call to go and preach everywhere? You remember that? He's trying to go into Asia and God's stopping him. The Spirit is stopping him. The God that has called him is not letting him fulfill his call. Now, my perspective is I'd be pretty upset. There's some kind of spirit that's blocking me. It's the Holy Spirit. He's saying, stop. I have a plan. I'm trying to do something. And Paul's like, but I'm a diligent, faithful steward and I'm trying to preach. And as he's going in, God is saying no, and he's forbidden by the Holy Spirit. And I can imagine Paul is all worked up, trying to discern what's going on in the spiritual realm that God is stopping him. And then there is this dream of a man of Macedonia. Hey, come over and help us. Do you remember this? Acts chapter 16? And he goes to the team, and the team sits together, and they conclude, God has called us to preach the gospel in Macedonia. And they get in a ship and they go across. They come to Macedonia. They go to the primary city, the leading city called Philippi. They show up in Philippi. And was their practice? They're looking for a place on the Sabbath to pray. Do you remember? They go out. They encounter some people and they meet this lady called Lydia, who becomes the first convert. And Lydia pushes them to come stay in their house, in her house. Come on, come on. And they're staying with her and they're going out daily to the place of prayer. And this demon girl, woman, girl, filled with the Spirit, is calling out, "These are the men, the servants of God. They're here to proclaim the salvation of God." Now, I know it might feel a little bit uncomfortable if somebody's telling your calling to the whole world, but Paul got upset and he cast the Spirit out. You remember this? That's this church getting founded. And then because all the money was lost by the owners of this slave girl, they get taken to prison. They get beaten. The magistrates throw them into the inner prison where they're in these bonds, shackles, where they cannot escape. And what does Paul do to respond? He's singing. He's celebrating. He's like having a worship service. Now, we're at camp, and I know we got a great view behind me, so I know most of you are not going to be looking at me. You're going to be looking outside. That's okay. But we come here expecting something amazing so we can sing because we're looking at this. Paul is in the inner part of the prison, and he's still singing. Why? He's got joy. Why does he have joy? In the midst of being beaten, in the midst of the prison, with a car breakdown on the side of the road, a flat tire, he's got joy. A broken arm, he's got joy. Why? Why? Beaten 5 times from the Jews, received the 39 lashes, he's got joy. What's going on? What has he captured that we need to capture? And when he's writing this letter to the church at Philippi, he's again in prison. I don't know if that captures your mind. It's like, wow, from a church that started in prison to a ministry that continues in prison, and we know pretty soon he's going to die out of that prison. Right? Like, these have marked the life of Paul, and through his life, there's this joy that's bubbling up. And I get overwhelmed. You think about the joy. We sing this song, "The joy of the Lord is my strength." Maybe we don't sing it anymore. We used to sing it back in the day. I guess I'm... Oh, we sing it? Okay, thank you. But as we look through this church that got formed and this community that's functioning, Paul is joyful. And so when we look at the book of Philippians, it's like joy just bubbles out of the pages. You've got joy, you've got joyful, you've got rejoice. All these variations of joy littered through the pages of Philippians, calling us. It's Paul saying to them, it's Paul calling them. So it speaks to us, be joyful. Be filled with joy. Amen. You say, you don't understand my circumstances. You're right, I don't. But there's somebody that does. There's some joy that people have beyond their circumstances. This past summer, just less than a year ago, we were having a day camp at our church. And we're talking about the mission of God and God calling people. We're tracing the various missionary stories from the Bible. And so on Monday, we started with Jesus calling the 12. And ended Monday with Jesus commissioning his disciples. Go, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always. And our kids were memorizing this. And we were excited. Tuesday was Paul's first missionary journey. And our kids were like excited. We did it all in drama format. So there was dramas of all the different events happening. Wednesday was this second missionary journey, the one we're on with Paul now. And then Thursday was the third missionary journey. And Friday was what the Bible didn't tell us after that. It's when the missionaries went out. It was Thomas going to India. It was Matthias going to Ethiopia. It was Nathaniel going up to Armenia. And we're tracing the history of the mission of God. God has been at work for generations. From the beginning until now. And we concluded that Friday. We brought all the kids back. The final scene of the drama was before the throne of Christ. As everybody gave a testimony of what they had done. Nathaniel, torn to shreds. Thomas died. Peter crucified. Step by step, I was obedient to you, my Lord. Laying their crown down, and the call is for us to do the same. We think it sounds really far away. But that week, we got news that three of our church planters had been martyred. You say, oh, can you imagine today you're at the feet of Jesus because you finished your course? That gives me joy. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what's going to come, but I can be joyful because if I'm going, I'm going with joy. Amen. And sometimes we think, when I get there, I'll be joyful. No, today. Yeah. Amen. It's not just then I'll be joyful. Today I can be joyful. Today I can be bubbling up. God's at work. We've had a bit of a chaotic year as a family. It's been a bit unpredictable. PJ was giving us this simple summary that we're returning to Canada. This hasn't been like a straight line. It's been this roller coaster of a mountain. And Terry and I were talking this week as we were preparing to come here. And it's something you can't plan. You know, we're on these journeys, we don't get to plan. And I know our Canadian culture is we want to plan out the next 5 years and we want to know, and it doesn't always work that way. And so we've been walking this roller coaster, and the peace that has come has been there's somebody that's with us in the midst of the upheaval. The chaos is not chaos to him. And so if I just say, hey, I'm with Jesus. Hey, what are you doing here? I'm with Jesus. Well, what's the plan? Sorry, I don't know the plan. I'm with Jesus. We're on this journey with Jesus as we move forward, and there's no set step beyond what he's asked us to do this time. Paul, trying to go into Asia, the Spirit is stopping him. He's redirecting him. Paul didn't have that in his mind. Are we together? So when we look at joy, sometimes we think happiness is joy. I want to think about that for a second. I was listening to one of my friends that was speaking about joy, and she said, happiness comes from things. Joy comes from relationships. So I was like, So, you know, you always got to challenge these thoughts that people bring you. I'm pretty happy when I get a car or get a new technology device, right? We got a new piece of furniture, got something, new coffee maker. I won't buy any more, I promise. She's always complaining I have too many coffee makers because every time there's a new way to make coffee, I love coffee, I want to try it. And Kickstarter is the worst because they've got all the new inventions and trials. And she's like, okay, stop. But when I get that, it's amazing. Have you ever tried a G-Presso? Yeah. I tried it. I loved it. Oh, it's amazing. And I tried it for about 25 times. And then there's other ways. There's faster, quicker, easier. You know what I mean? And that moment of happiness, as that thing fades, the happiness disappears. And so Paul here is saying, my joy is praying because I remember you. The joy is from the relationship. The joy is about the connectivity. When we're together, there's a building up of joy, and the ultimate connection is with Christ. Yeah. It's not every relationship that brings joy. But if there's genuine joy, it comes out of relationship founded in Jesus. And that joy builds us up. That joy strengthens us. That joy is something that's like gratitude overflowing. When I see somebody, it's not like, oh man, I got to look the other way and hide. It's like, come here, well, give me a hug. Or if you're not a huggy person, hey, pound it, right? We have all these ways that we express the joy of relationship founded in Christ. So Penny and Yoni have been here for a while, and Penny grew up in our church in Addis. And this story of your camp intersecting for us is, again, always a pivotal moment. It was May of 2012 that we were at camp at Deer Meadows, and we're sitting there. Jack. John and Jack. They come up and they're like having these prophetic words, and Terry's just weeping. If you remember Terry, I mean, you don't have to remember. You can see her just as the music started, she just started to cry, and PJ came across. Are you crying already? Has it already started? And it was at that camp, God was speaking something, and we were trying to figure out what it could mean. It was 2 years later, we're back with you. Two kids, and Terry was expecting. Not when we landed. At camp. At church before that. There was two kids, and Terry was pregnant. We came to camp, there was three kids. In that story, Penny was on the other side, not knowing your camp story. Penny was waiting there with her two sisters. When we brought the twins home, everybody was like all hands on deck. We were set. We thought we could plan. Okay, we've got two kids. This is good. Let's settle in. And 3 weeks later, found out Terry was expecting. And if you've had a couple of kids under a year and you're expecting another one, it's hard. If it's your first time, you pull your hair out if you had hair. And you know, people that don't know our story, I said before this I had hair. I never had hair, but Penny and her two sisters, Shali and Debo, they came to our house. This is community. This is what brings joy. So I can't look at her without my heart filling with, this is my Penny. When Terry couldn't do everything that needed to be done, okay, all hands on deck, Dad. And they're like, no, you need to sleep. You need to rest. We're going to come and spend a night, each one of the sisters, spend a night once a week so that I could sleep. I pray for you with joy when I remember your partnership in the gospel. See, we think about these big, magnificent things, but the partnership with the gospel is together. We're joined in life with God on his purpose. It's not this lofty idea that we're going to transform nation. The nations get transformed when the transformation starts in this little circle where I'm standing. And my life starts to be formed in Christ, and the joy oozes out, and my friends and my brothers and my sisters and my family are encountering Jesus, and the joy just continues to multiply. It's like the cup that never goes dry. And as this joy starts to be multiplied, our life starts to take over. So my encouragement for you is choose joy. Are you in a rough moment? Choose joy. Are you in a court case? This year wasn't really fun for me. It was not fun at all. Due to some circumstances, I ended up in 9 court cases. Yeah. So I'm not escaping them. I'm coming to Canada is not an escape, but let me tell you, it feels a little bit lighter as those court cases start to be resolved. In the midst of that, we can have joy. Hello. In the midst of the dark, dirty, filthy seasons, prison, whatever your season is, get joy. Choose joy. Live joyful. Jesus gives us the strength to endure all that is coming at us. Because you don't do it alone. It's by His empowerment. It's by His grace. And so Paul says, every time he remembers them, he gives thanks. Is your life marked with gratitude? You want to have more joy? Give thanks. Like, we had this breakfast this morning. Sometimes we just take these things for granted. Now, Terry loves cream. And our kids have started to like scam her cream. She wants cream in her coffee. Yeah, that's right, eh? I think it was you guys that inspired her to more cream in her coffee. And then there's whipping cream out there. Thank you. That was how I felt this morning. Because I don't get cream anymore. They're just all a bowl of berries filled to the brim with cream. Now, it's not my choice. I just want a little bit of whipping cream. Here we've got pancakes with whipping cream and strawberries and syrup and... Thank you, Lord. Yeah. This is good. Yeah. So, those pancakes. We have all the ways of complaining. Am I right? Yeah. Last night when we came down to the fire pit, Betty's like, "Nah, I don't want a sausage and I don't want a hot dog, but I want watermelon." And it's like, wow. And so Les is cutting these watermelons up and... Two fists in watermelons. Thank you, Jesus. Right? Beautiful watermelon, beautiful blueberries, strawberries, whatever it is. This heart of thankfulness. Thank you for these people. Thank you for Jeremy and Roanne. Like, I was watching Roanne because my wife plays the piano, so I'm always watching how people play the piano. And I saw you take off your shoes and just gently put them out so you could play with your socks on. I was thinking, like, the thinking patterns in the midst of all this playing, leading worship, just what's going to be more, what's going to function better? It's just like this, thank you. We thank God for you. I thank God for what He's done and what He's doing. Every time I remember you in my prayers. This gratitude that comes out gives us joy. You can go back in your life. Do you remember those people? Maybe they're not in the room with you, but can you go back and remember? I remember going to South Africa. I was having a little bit of a health issue. And Auntie Lori took me to the doctors. This poor lady. She was like walking me through all of these not very pleasant doctor's appointments. She just, steady as a rock. This is the step. This is the step. This is the step. This is the step. And we didn't know what was going on. And so when we think of you, hearts are filled with thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord. What does that give me? Joy. They show up at the airport for like 2 minutes to say, "Welcome to Canada. We love you." Big hugs, hug the kids. They didn't stay around for the free food somewhere. Right? That's what most of us would like to do. Or just meet you at the food. No, they're sitting there at the airport. You walk through. Who do you see? Len and Lori are standing there. "Welcome to Canada, guys." Over and over and over again. See, it's these relationships give us joy. Because we know we're walking together with Jesus. But it's not just the thanksgiving. Look at this in verse 6. And we used to sing these songs from this verse. He who began a good work in you will carry it to completion. Remember that? I'm not a singer, so I won't sing, cause you any pain, but that he who began a good work in you will be faithful to complete it. He who began. You know what that gives us? Confidence. Our joy is not anchored in our experiences. Our joy is anchored in confidence. God is not done with us. Am I right? So we know whatever season we're in, it's not permanent. What are you dealing with today? It's not forever. And so this past year, that calmed me in the midst of some very difficult days. Troublesome meetings. Meetings of intensity and heat and venom coming out. God's not done. God's not surprised. The last word doesn't come from somebody else. The last word comes from him. That confidence means he's at work. I can be joyful. I don't know the outcome. And what I started to realize is I don't need to care about the outcome. I need to hold on to Jesus and be at peace with where he's leading. Even if it's uncomfortable. You know what I mean? And I love my plans. Terry will tell you I plan too much. I grew up in Canada. I'm a Canadian. Spent a long time now in Africa, so I'm kind of confused. I'm a hybrid, but Terry's like, you're still planning a lot. And all of a sudden, well, I still have to be diligent at some level, but I just got to hold the hand. You know what I mean? And that confidence. The one whose hand I'm holding, he's got me. I don't know what I'm going to go through. I don't know what it's going to cost. I don't know if I'm going to suffer or not. I don't know what level of suffering it may be, but he's got me. And so that confidence anchors my heart. He who began a good work in you. He's not done. You're not with him in eternity yet. We sometimes think eternal life is going to start on the other side. We forget eternal life started already. When you joined with Jesus. When you joined with Jesus, this life started. Now, look here at verse 7. It is right for me to feel this way about you since I have you in my heart. And whether I am in chains or defending or confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. You know what happens? Joy is formed in community. Can't have joy alone. You can't be isolated and filled with joy because it's out of relationship. And so it takes community around you. So it's Penny and her sisters and her family and our friends. And we've got this incredible church. Len and Lori have been with us in Addis. It's exploding. In the last 5 years, we've had more than 400 people baptized. Last year, 127 people got baptized. And when Penny moved to Canada, it was a small little church of about 80 to 100 people on a Sunday. A good Sunday was 100. And all of a sudden, the doors are blowing off. And people are getting saved hand over fist. You're amazing. And some of these new people, they've been in the Lord for a couple years. They're leading our life groups, or I think that's what you call it. And they're facilitating and bringing people to know Christ and bringing new ones in. And you're sitting there, come on. Joy is found in community. You can't do it alone. You can't isolate, sit in the corner. I'm too important, or I'm too scared, or I'm too fearful. Put it aside. Find your joy in the Lord. And it's not by yourself. It's together with those in the body of Christ with you. And as we navigate those seasons, that cultivation in community. Look at him. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. I don't want to be separated. I want to be together. Now, I know good Canadians love their space, and right, we have that. Give me a little bit more space. And that was striking to us when we came back to have Zoe. We were used to Ethiopia. When we brought Tim and Betty home, July 31st, 2013, our house was filled with people. We got to the gate. The guy that works for us would not open the gate. I'm a good Christian, so I was very gentle and calm. Open the gate! My friends tell me, just park outside. I don't want to park outside. I'm coming home with my kids. Open the gate! Are you with me? He wouldn't open the gate. Eventually we got out, and I'm going to give him a piece of my mind. We walk inside. There's a red carpet. There's flowers everywhere. There's ladies standing there singing. There's banners hanging, "Welcome home, Timothy and Bethany." Can I disappear? You know what I mean? And this whole community, we have more than 40 people pile into our house. Woo! Let's celebrate. And you're amazed. Community. We had Zoe. We brought Zoe home. Terry's like, it's kind of lonely here. My parents, who we were staying in their basement suite, were like, knock, knock. Can we come down? Come down, please. We need people. Because we're not built to be doing this alone. We're meant and built to live in community. And it's in the community that you walk through the ups and the downs. It's not a straight line of all good. There's some of those really rough moments when you're going down. And then there's the moments of, but you're walking it together. What do you know? The joy of the Lord is my strength. And this community is where it's built and strengthened. Verse 9 captivates my heart. This is part of his prayer. And this is my prayer. I love you. I celebrate you. I miss you. I want to be with you. I want to be together. This is my prayer for you. So think of the love flowing out to give this prayer. That your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. In knowledge, your love may grow in knowledge. Think about that for a second. The knowledge of your love, how you understand what love is. Because we live in a world that has made love kind of a twisted word. We've sexualized it. We've twisted it. If you love me, you'll accept everything about me. No, I can love you and tell you you're flat wrong. You're being stupid and I still love you. That's what love is, right? And so he's saying, I want you to abound more and more in your knowledge of love. Grow to know love better. And depth of insight. The wisdom, the application of love. Not just to know about love, but to apply it. Do you have somebody broken on the edges? You need to apply love. What does that mean to live out your love? Not, I'm perfect, you're imperfect. No. How do we apply love? And then verse 10. So that you may be able to discern what is best. The outcome is our ability to discern is better. And he's saying, I want you to discern what is best. What is he praying for them? He's praying the mind of Christ. That's what he's praying. And may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ Jesus. You're growing to be more like Jesus. That you may be able to discern. Now, the world doesn't like us to judge. Discerning, simply, is accurate judgment. We're called to that. We're not called to condemn. We're not called to pronounce condemnation. We're called to discern what is best. How do I love best? How do I love my friend, my brother, my sister, my relative that has fallen, has broken faith with God? How do I walk that out? Every time we walk through difficulties in community, it's an opportunity. We had a young sister who came to the Lord the last year and a half, 2 years, 3 years, something like that. She had a fall. We had to walk through a process with her, which included her not being able to come and be part of the community. We walked it out privately with her, trying to deal with her spiritual life. She was quite resistant for a while. We walked through a journey. It was almost 7 months. She came back, recognizing that it was actually love for her. We said, okay, you're welcome back. Your relationship with Christ has been restored. Now you need to have a relationship with the body of Christ. It's not fun, right? And we walk that journey. And she's like, I don't want to come back until I have my baby. I said, no, come back now. Have your baby in our community. We brought her back in. She's 8.5 months pregnant. We brought her in. Come on. She's terrified. We asked everybody who wasn't a member, please step out. We want our members to come close. Everybody knows something's happening. It's like, what's going on? Walk through, what does the scripture say? Welcome them back. Bring them back. As relationship with Christ has been restored, as there has been confession, acknowledging the wrong done, repentance, turning away, there is restored relationship. First with God, then with the body. We brought it to our church. People that have been members of the church for a few years, some that got saved, some that had been wounded in other places. Nobody ever invites us back. They're always good at kicking us out. And we brought her back in and we loved her. We prayed for her. And since we came, she had her baby. The church is coming around. There's baby showers. We love in community. Not in perfection. In community. The outcome? Joy. It's developed in community. My joy is her restored relationship with Jesus. When I watch the smile return to her face, the absence of these barriers that brought her in sin, there's this intensity. Our time is escaping. Let me jump ahead. Let's jump to the end of the chapter, verses 27 to 30. Verse 27, Paul says this, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Whatever happens, whatever happens, whatever you experience, conduct yourself, how you behave. Now, let me give you a summary of where I was going before God told me to come to Joy. I was looking at being formed in Christ. How are we formed in Christ? One aspect of being formed in Christ is being conformed, aligning with his behavior. What are the practices of Jesus? Being conformed to Christ. Don't be conformed to the world, be conformed to Christ. Don't be like the world, don't take the patterns of the world, take the patterns of Christ. The silence, the solitude, the times alone with his Father, the times reading the spiritual texts. So he's saying, whatever happens, conduct yourself. Your behavior has to be worthy of the gospel of Christ. What does that mean? be like Jesus. I don't know how many of you would remember WWJD. Remember those little bands and, right? We used to always have those little shirts and those little rubber bands back in the 90s. Maybe you guys, there you go. It's not as old as I thought. What would Jesus do? What has Jesus instructed us to do? What's that about? You see, in the midst of this pressure, persecution, suffering, you remember Paul's start at the church of Philippi? A little bit painful. At least my thinking is it's painful. I mean, prison doesn't sound exciting. Right? And so he's reflecting back to that. Whether I come to see you or only hear about it in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit. Not fractured, not divided, striving together as one for the faith of the gospel. Unity. The common unity. The community. That's what we're called to, right? The community of the faith wrapped around Jesus Christ. In verse 28. The common unity without being frightened in any way by those who oppose you. We get surprised when people oppose us. They're against me! Duh. What did you think? Do you think the world's with you? If it hated Jesus, how's it going to respond to you? If you start walking with Jesus in this common unity as those who stand firm in one spirit, the world's going to be against you. Don't be surprised. Don't be frightened. This is a sign to them that they will be destroyed. When you don't get frightened, you keep your joy. Joy is perfected under pressure. That moment of pressure, you stay joyful. I'm not going to let anybody steal my joy. I'm not going to let somebody rob my joy. Verse 29, we don't like, so maybe we should just skip it and close. Let's read it and see what you think. For it has been granted to you on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, yes, hallelujah, amen, but also to suffer for him. Amen? It got a little quieter. We love that we are called to believe in him, to be granted life with him. We don't love, but also to suffer for him. Since you are going through the same struggle you saw I had. What was the struggle that Paul had? When he was ministering the kingdom, he was casting out demons, he's dealing with the conflicts, he's bringing the kingdom of God to them. The whole town turns against him and puts him in prison. He's the minister of Jesus Christ, and he's suffering for it. Don't be surprised. Don't be surprised. He says, and now hear that I still have. Paul's still in prison again. Some of the church of Philippi had been put in prison again. It wasn't just Paul's experience. They were walking through the same opposition. We get surprised that the world's against us. Guys, the world's against us. Let's stay joyful. Choose joy. Choose joy in every circumstance. Understand, God's not done with you. Understand, this community is the place where that joy is going to flourish. And it's not just like, oh, that is such an amazing view. No, no. These are such amazing people. God has done something here. I don't know if you guys ever do this, but you want to grow in your joy? Sit with somebody you don't know very well and ask them their story. What did Jesus do for you? You get amazed every time. I sat with somebody new last week. Guy down in Ontario when I was there for meetings. Had no clue. And he just starts telling me his story. He's just like, wow. Can you believe how good God is? Like, the links of your story that it's your life, so it's common to you. You don't think it's special. Right? It is. It's a story of God's grace. It's a story of what God has done. And you might think, well, everybody knows my story. Like, I'm just a common guy. I grew up in the church. I didn't have a big rebellious phase. Didn't run away and get into drugs and alcohol and women. Like, my story's kind of boring. No, no, no. Do you understand the amazing power of God in your story? As somebody else needs to hear, God was at work in your life. For those first 20 years that you were being formed and whatever was going on, God was at work. You weren't alone. You weren't abandoned. Choose joy. Choose joy. Let joy just bubble up. Let there be some, like, dance like Lori danced this morning. I didn't see many of you dancing. I saw Lori dancing. Like, just let the joy of the Lord fill you. Just, okay. And it's not just for camp. For life. Let the joy of the Lord, like, just ooze out of you. Let everybody be like, I just saw him smiling. I didn't see him smiling before. Yeah, you know what it is? The joy of the Lord. Those stern faces that get all frowny because they know this is not good. All of a sudden, it's like God's at work. It's not my style of music. It's okay. God's at work. It's not my volume. Who cares? It's not about you. Sorry, was that too offensive? I'm still learning this Canadian culture. Guys, it's not about ourselves. It's about Jesus Christ. What he wants to do in this community. Who he wants to touch. Who he wants to bring to healing. Who he's trying to restore. Whose walls he's breaking down. What barriers have been set up. Choose joy. Can you bow your heads with me this morning? Father, we love you. We're just amazed over and over. When we see the story of Paul, we're captivated by how good you are. When we see the church at Philippi, my heart is quickened again. How good you are. So, Father, I pray today, here at Enjoy Life Camp 2026, we will choose joy. Not in a moment, but as a pattern for our life. Father, give us your perspective. Give us eyes to see what you see. Give us a heart that loves your church, that loves these people that you've placed in community, this church body. Come, Holy Spirit, where there is pain, where there is suffering, where there are wounds, and some would pull away. Let this be a turning point where we push in. God, you're doing something this weekend. Father, help us to choose joy. Part of the fruit of your Spirit is joy. So fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit. Give us a fresh outpouring. As we stay at camp, as we meet together, as we pray together, as we worship together, as we eat, as we laugh, as we hang out, fill us afresh with your Spirit. Father, we surrender to you. We depend on you. Our lives are held together by your hand. Where there are battles for joy, bring forth the joy of the Lord. Bring forth an outpouring of your Holy Spirit, a surrender. We depend on you, Jesus. We love you. Father, we choose joy. Lord, we declare joy over this camp. This weekend would be a watershed moment of living in the joy that comes from you, from being part of your body, from walking life, holding your hand, trusting you, from the pressure that produces joy. We will not shrink back. We will walk forward for the glory and the honor of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.